Now 1 Thessalonians 5 says, the very God of peace sanctify you, holy spirit, soul, and body. 5:23. Sanctify is to make you pure. I had a salad the other day at a restaurant that was not sanctified, I can just tell you, except for the prayer that we prayed over it. Part of the ingredients were soured, and so I pushed those aside. And then I noticed part of the lettuce was rotten on bottom. And I thought, you know, I like things sanctified, don't you? I like things holy. I like things pure. I like things healthy. I don't want to challenge myself. If I have a challenge, I want it to surprise me. I don't want to have to look back and say, I didn't think that was any good. Well, it had good meat and cheese on the top, and I did that, and I pushed the rest aside. God says, verse 20, the very God of peace. I love that. The very God of peace. He wants your body to be at peace. You can be at peace with medical science. You go led by the Spirit. You go to do what your Spirit dictates would be right for you, and you can have peace. Sanctify you wholly. Now, that's wholly, into every piece and every part. If I said I ate the whole pie, you'd understand that I ate all 8 pieces myself. Now, I'm capable of that. But I'm not going to do that. God wants you wholly sanctified, wholly pure, every part of you function to perfection. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How long does he want to preserve you? Not a week or two, a month or two, a year or two. Not until old age sets in. But he wants you always preserved. Now, Wayne was raised on a farm, and when we first got married, we did some farming and learned to can from his mother and following instructions and so forth. And when you put green beans or tomatoes in a can, you want them preserved wholly. You don't want any bacteria in that jar. And those cans will seal, and they'll pop when they seal. And if one doesn't pop, you go by and you mash them, you can tell this one is not wholly sealed. You're sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise. Do you know that? You're sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise. Amen. Yes. That means your body should just hip hop pop along. Do you know that? That's what it means. Every part of you. Man is spirit, soul, and body. The spirit of man is the inward man. I see I drew this before. It's still on there. And then that inward man is in a physical body. Now all the deposit of the word goes into the inward man, which is also called by Peter the hidden man, or the spirit. And we're going to be spirit dominated. And healing is going to come from the spirit into the flesh. The word of God is spirit. Now, it's very interesting. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Let me show you an interesting verse. Verse 13. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. And I love that. Depending upon what translation you read, exactly how that's written, but comparing spiritual things. Well, you're a spirit being. God is spirit. You're made as a spirit being in his image. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you when you're born again. John 6 says God's word is spirit. So God takes his word, which is spirit, and brings it to your spirit and explains it to you by divine unction of the Holy Spirit. And you compare spiritual things with spiritual things. That means we're not mentally challenged, because we're going to have understanding from the Holy Ghost in our spirit. And our spirit is going to dominate. It's going to inform our mind. This is what we believe. Now, if I don't renew my mind and do something with my mind, I'll never be preserved blameless. My mind will constantly throw me a curve, because you're always going to have some reason to worry, some reason to fret and be anxious. The word worry comes from an ancient word that has to do with an animal taking another animal by the neck. And you know how they shake them and shake them and shake them? They worry them. That's what that's called. This animal has this animal in its mouth, and it's worrying it. And that's what pain and agony and worry and trauma does. It tends to shake your mind until it seems like your bones rattle. And that gives the devil a place. He hunts a place in your life. He hunts a place, and he comes through your mind. Now, look at 1 Peter. If I close the door to the devil's onslaught, you're not going to get rid of the devil until he goes into the bottomless pit. But if I close the door to the devil's onslaught, I'm going to have to do something with my mind. Look at chapter 2, 1 Peter, Verse 11. Dearly beloved, talking to you and I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. We used to sing that song, I'm just a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Heaven's way will seem so dear. Heaven is my home. Well, I haven't sung that in years, and I don't guess anybody sings that anymore. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. You're not a citizen of earth, you're a citizen of heaven. Abstain. Now, what does that mean? Don't do it from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, being the mind, the will, and the emotions. Do you see you can have a war in your mind? You've already been there. I don't have to tell you that. I've been there myself. The terminology fleshly lust, the word lust means strong desire. You can have a strong desire for something that's really beneficial. However, the word is generally not used in that manner. It's usually a strong desire for that which is forbidden. And if it's a fleshly lust, it's desire of the flesh. It's the way the flesh would lead you. Do you see that the flesh has its own agenda? It has its own desire. It has its own roadmap, its own way of doing things. And it's going to contradict that which is in the spirit. And you're going to have a war if you entertain thoughts with your mind. You're going to have a war between your mind, between your soul and your emotions, and your spirit. As you meditate in God's word day and night, you're putting the word of God in your spirit. You're putting it in your inward man. You're putting it there like a vast computer so that you can withdraw that word when you need it so the Holy Spirit can prompt you and bring you back sometimes to a verse you haven't read in years. And suddenly it'll just be really clear to you. Because if you compare spiritual things, your spirit is born again. The Word of God is spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the Word, which is spirit, explains it to the human spirit. And all of that is on file and ready to rescue and deliver and set you free, ready to anchor the soul. Now, if I've renewed my soul and I have occasion to worry or just to say, be afraid, your flesh has its own agenda and it's going to promote fear. It's going to promote worry. It thinks you ought to. And so if the flesh says, you know, what are you ever going to do here? Well, if my mind is not renewed, if I've not taken time to put the word in the spirit and to renew my mind as a process that happens, if you meditate, you are putting the word in your spirit and renewing your mind at the same time. If I haven't taken time to do that, you know, you can be a Christian and never grow up in God. You don't know anything. And it's what you don't know. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's going to cause us a great dilemma. But see, if I renewed my mind and my flesh has its own lust, its own agenda, its own concept, its own idea, and it lets me know that I have reason to be really, really afraid. If my mind's renewed, it's going to stand right up and say, no, God's not given us a spirit of fear. We have power, we have love, we have a sound mind. And your mind is supposed to be so renewed and anchored by the Spirit in conjunction with your spirit so that your mind and your spirit work together. Otherwise, this is a great verse. You're going to have war in the soul. You know, war is very simple. Should I eat that? No, I really shouldn't. I already had one. You have this war whereby your better judgment in the Spirit says, you know, you're supposed to be self-controlled. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. But if I haven't done anything with my mind is going to come into agreement with my flesh, and I'm going to get in big trouble. See, what you want is your mind to be renewed. Look at Romans 12. To be renewed, to be in agreement with the Spirit. And that comes through meditation, through pondering God's Word, through going over the promises. Several weeks back, we covered the Logos, which is the entire volume of the Word, and the Rhema. The Rhema is a specific word. And the Holy Ghost will bring a Rhema word, a specific word to you that will anchor you. When our children were in a car accident several weeks before they were in a car accident, the only verse that came to me every time I prayed, every time I read, my heart would say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. They were in 11th and 12th grade, serious accident. And when I went to the site of the wreck, I just happened to pass it on the way to the hospital after they called me. Suzanne was still in the road. Joel was loading the ambulance, both unconscious. And I couldn't think of anything. They asked me how old Suzanne was. I didn't know. They asked me what year she was born. They asked me what grade she was in school. I was as blank as a piece of paper. I wasn't worried. I wasn't fretful. I just didn't know anything. My mind just blanked out. Well, that turned out to be a good thing at that time. But the only thing I did know is no weapon formed against me would prosper because God had brought that. That was my word, the word that I needed at that juncture, the word that brought to me by the Holy Ghost, a spiritual word, see, to anchor my spirit and to invade my mind and to keep my mind and my spirit functioning together. I know you've had too many things to do and you seem like you're going in 10 directions at the same time. And when that happens, you never do anything really well and you forget things. I'm not one to forget things, but if I have more than one thing to do, I might write it down. Especially if I'm going to the grocery store and I'm going to come home again without the bleach, because I don't generally use bleach. And if I need bleach for something, I know I should probably write that down. I'm going to look at that piece of paper. I'm going to look at it a lot, because you know what happens to it? I leave it on the refrigerator. I never get to the store with it. But I want my mind and my heart to rise up and say, bleach, Becky, bleach. I don't want to walk up down the aisle and say, I know I'm forgetting something. Wayne and I had three things we were going to get from the, we used to call them drug stores. What do they call them now? I don't even know. You know, old people only know old things. And we went with these three things, and I got two right away, and I knew I'd forgotten something. And I said to Wayne, who, by the way, is generally not helpful, didn't we come for three things? And he said, yes. I said, what was that other thing? He didn't know. Between the two of us. You know, you have to plant the seed of the Word of God in your heart. You have to plant it in your heart. And when you plant it in your heart, you have to water it. You constantly read it and water that Word so that Word's on fire. A lot of things I can quote, I never memorized. I just read them a lot and read them a lot over the years until they were planted in the Spirit. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't think like they're thinking. But be transformed or changed by the renewing. What changes your life? It's the renewing of your mind that you may prove or know or test or allow what's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, your mind doesn't function alone. It functions in conjunction with your spirit that's brand new. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, where God gave Adam a command. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In other words, Adam had a responsibility, a divine assignment. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. He had the word of the Lord. Now God will bring a rhema word, a word to you. He brings you that word so that you can go over and over and over and over it. So the thing that's dominant in your thinking at that time is whatever verse or word that God has given you. Now Adam was not born again. He's choosing life, the tree of life, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In choosing the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he stepped into the darkness. It says he died. Now, he didn't die physically. He lived 930 years. Death is separation. Physical death is separation from your physical body, separation from earth, separation from family and friends for the time being. But this is spiritual death, separation from God. That means the only thing in Adam's spirit is death and destruction. But that's not who you are. You chose Jesus as your Savior and Lord. So now your spirit has been made totally brand new, and you have God's life and nature. You've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have God's nature. You have the Holy Ghost. You are God's temple. And whatever word God gives you is going to rise up and come into agreement with your mind, and it's going to dominate you and bring you to victory. Now, you always are going to have the report of the flesh. So many scriptures talks about the lust of the flesh. Look at Galatians 5. We're not listening to the flesh. We're supposed to crucify the flesh. Sometimes scripture says mortify. Verse 19, the works of the flesh. Do you see your flesh has a concept of how it's going to work, what it's going to do? Lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh. In other words, this flesh, this is what I would do. And here is that vast list of evils and ungodly things not sanctioned by the Spirit. But it says in verse 18, if you're led of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit leading the human spirit. Now, if you look back at, well, we'll look at verse 17, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. Now, that shouldn't be a capital S. That's the human spirit where God has made you brand new, where you are digesting God's word, which is spirit, in a disagreement with the flesh. God has a concept that's going to be for your betterment, for your good, and the flesh has an agenda that's going to provoke death and disaster, not necessarily physical death, although that certainly is included. And so we have this war going on, but verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. Walk according to the dictates of the Spirit. Well, if your spirit's empty, if we're not a meditator, one who reads the word, not even on occasion, if you are haphazard at church, you're going to be spiritually adrift. You're going to miss some things that you need to know. You're not going to be anchored in God. Your spirit's not going to be strong. One of the favorite verses from the book of Proverbs is, a strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. We're not guaranteed to live without bodily pain or trouble, but we're guaranteed the resources to strengthen our spirit and to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might and to overcome.
Amen.
Strong spirit of a man. Well, you're strengthened by the Spirit, and you're strengthened by the Word. The Word of God is Spirit, and then, of course, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we have that wonderful language of the Spirit by which we can pray and strengthen ourselves, edify ourselves, build ourselves up, it says. 1 Corinthians 14, we'll just read that. I tend to quote and get references, and so we'll just read that today. 14:4. He that speaks an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. Prophecy in the known language, you're speaking to the church, and they have to know what you've said. He that speaks in tongue edifies himself. All the time I'm speaking in other tongues, I'm building up. I'm adding to the deposit and strengthening my spirit so that I'm ready. You know, on TV, the little pastor used to always say, Freddie is ready. Did you ever hear him preach? Freddie is ready? Well, we're supposed to, you may not be Freddie, but you're supposed to be ready. You're supposed to be ready. You're supposed to strengthen your spirit. You're supposed to pray in other tongues and read the word which is spirit, meditate in the word. Now look at the first psalm. And when you meditate in the word, you're going to strengthen your spirit. You're going to renew your mind. It's going to happen all at the same. Aren't you glad it's not two procedures, it's one? Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I love that word delight. You know, that's what gives you the most pleasure. That would not be chocolate, that would be lemon. You can have the chocolate. I like lemon. There is a dark chocolate candy with lemon and black pepper in it that's absolutely phenomenally delicious. That's just been discontinued. So I went down and bought a whole, for as long as they last. I'm not sure I'm going to share either. I'm not positive about that, but I love that. Chocolate and lemon, especially the lemon part. Lemon pie is a little too sweet for me, but lemon bread, lemon pound cake. Shh. I'm supposed to be that excited about the Word of God. So, I got 10 minutes here. I'm going to read God's Word. Not supposed to come at the end of the day and say, oh, I didn't read the word today. You know why you didn't? You didn't want to. Most of the time, if we'd have wanted to, we would have. We didn't want to. I have to beat myself up sometimes and say, sit down, open the book, because I want to be ready. I want my heart to be ready. I've been like you. I've been sick, not had anything disastrous. I had strep throat, never had strep throat before or since, several years back. I've never been in such agony in all my life. And I have a major deposit of the Word. I know I'm strong in the Lord. I'm getting stronger all the time. But I know I've worked all these years to grasp healing, to stand in healing. And I did what was wisdom for me. I went to the doctor. We were taking care of my father, who was in his late 80s. And he had to have close contact treatment. And I couldn't breathe in his face. You just wouldn't do that to him. And I went and I explained that to him, and they did two or three things which were exceedingly beneficial, and I was so grateful. But as I was not recovering before then, in the middle of the night, I can't sleep. I can't even breathe. I can't swallow. I can't breathe. Have you been there? Well, you know what Wayne did? He said, where's your favorite scripture tape? I have a scripture tape. I have several, but I have one I really like. It comes from Amber Rose in Texas. Wayne said, where is that? I said, oh, I think it's in the car. Middle of the night, he's out scrounging around through the car. And then, as you know, nobody plays a CD in a CD player anymore, so we got to find a CD player. Where is that thing? We got to plug it in. And then we got to remember, this has got a lot of buttons. What button turns this on? And then Wayne's going to fall right to sleep because that's who he is. And I'm going to think, I better know, where's the off button here? Where's the off button? Because the scripture is the answer. It's the answer. It's the answer, the scripture. And as you pray in other tongues, you build up. It's like beating meringues. If you make a meringue, you start with 3 egg whites, and they're about this much, maybe a little over a tablespoon of meringue. 3 egg whites makes a good meringue. And if you beat that thing up, it's about that high. But you got to beat it up. You can't just look at it. When Wayne was in the military, this lady wanted an apple pie for her husband. And Wayne needed new stripes on his military uniform, which I'd have had to hand sew on there. And I don't tell you that I would have done a great job at that. And so I mentioned that. I wish, did anybody know anybody that would change Wayne's insignia, whatever it was? And she said, well, she would if I know how to bake apple pie. And I said, I do. My mother and my grandma were world champion cooks, and they taught me to cook. And I am a fair cook. I'm not an enthusiastic cook, you understand, but I'm a good cook. And so I went over, and she had this cutest little boy with the thickest glasses I've ever seen. Thank God for medical science. I don't know why I've got that on my mind, but I don't want you to be discouraged if you need medical treatment. Go get it. Just go by the Spirit. Do what's right. Well, they had this Bible on the bottom shelf. It was covered with dust. And I don't know why he looked at me, and he went over there, and he put his little hand on there almost, and he said, don't touch. Well, if that's the kind of Bible you had, you need to get you one you can touch. You need to get you one you can open. They had taught him to respect the Bible, but they'd not read it to him. They had not done their part as parents to impact the lives of that little boy with the Word of the Living God. Because it is God's Word in the Spirit and then in the mind that's going to come to your rescue when your flesh decides. Has your flesh ever been at war? Your flesh will decide. It has lust, it has war, it has desires, and it's going to promote those desires, and it wants you to weaken. Now, there are things, you know, you don't use for years and you can't find them. Does that happen to your house? When we dismantled Mother's house and Daddy's house to sell after they were both gone, did we ever find some things? My mother was a gifted saver. She had all the birthday cards you'd ever sent her. She had all the cards that were given to her when she was pregnant with me. You just can't imagine. Her kitchen cabinets went to the ceiling, unlike most. They were pine. Don't do that much anymore. And when we went up there, nobody had been up there for years, I don't guess. First of all, you had to have a ladder. And there was a lot of different china up there that I had not even seen. And then her sister, who's still living and is going to be 89 this year, wanted something that belonged to their mother that mother had had. And I said, well, we will look for it. First of all, I don't know what I'm looking for exactly. She described it, but I've not ever seen it. See that? We've got to come acquainted with the Word of the Living God. We've got to meditate. We've got to love that Word and spend time in that Word and know it's going in my heart and in my mind, in my spirit, in my mind, in my spirit. And when the flesh kicks up a war and says, you know, this is how you feel, this is what you see, haven't you heard this? You know, nobody loves you. Everybody hates you. Guess you go eat worms. Big, fat, juicy ones. Little, bitty, skinny ones. The flesh says, you know, that's what it promotes. Nobody loves you. You don't have any. You can't get any. Nobody's going to give you any. Nobody's going to loan you any. It promotes disaster. And your mind's going to rise up because it's renewed in God. It's renewed in God. It's going to say, no, my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Yeah. You know, I just say, sit down, devil. I'm going to read you something. He won't sit. He won't stay. First of all, I don't like to be read to, especially the Word of the Living God. You know, your children, when they're little, have a favorite book. Has that ever happened to y'all? Well, my niece called her husband actually and said they need a babysitter immediately. They had kind of an emergency. And so Wayne and I went to be the babysitter. And he's just 2. And he had a stack of books. And he kept going back to the same book. I don't know anything about the mindset of children, but this one was all white and with occasional black. Everything was white and black, and occasionally we had this bright orange, like a hat or a flower, you know. Do you know that book, the white and orange and black book? Well, I can't tell you what it was, but you know, we looked at that, he and I, and then went to another book. He looked at the other book about 10 seconds. He put that down, went back to this white and orange one, you know. I mean, we did that over and over. I thought, you know, to myself, now I've just about had enough of this white and orange book. It was about this little animal that lost something that was very important. And his mother was calling around, in case you've read this book. He had been to the zoo and other places to see if anybody had seen it. I can't remember what he'd lost. to see if they could find it. Well, I do not want to be in a position of finding a word that I need at the last minute. I mean, been there and done that. That is not wise. I want to have the word on file. You know, the day to meditate in financial scriptures is when you got plenty of money. That's the truth. Don't wait so long till you don't have any and you can't get any and you're absolutely desperate to plant in your spirit. Thank God. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully so that blessings may come to someone will reap bountifully with blessings. Because God will meet all your need. God will do exceeding abundantly above. Yes. Now, the scripture doesn't say a lot of different things. It says a few things many different ways. It says you're an inward man, a spirit man, a hidden man. That's not different. That's the same thing. It says your flesh. It talks about members. It talks about body. All the same thing. Well, Malachi talks about the windows of heaven pouring you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. That's exactly the same thing as Jesus said when he said it would be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run over. It's exactly the same thing that Paul said when he said it would be exceeding abundantly by all you ask or think. It's also the same as Paul said to the church at Corinth that there would be a harvest, a bountiful harvest. And it doesn't matter if it's a bountiful harvest or an overflowing measure or abundantly above what you could have imagined. It's God at work. And if I know that, I'm not going to let lack and destruction bother me. I'm just going to say, here we are, God, in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. It's the same with sickness and disease. We've been broke. Money is better. We've been sick and health is better. I'm not a healer, but I know him. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. So Holy Spirit lives in here to quicken your mortal body, to bring the word and the power of God alive in spirit and invade your body. Now it says renew your mind. Now look at James. From spirit to mind to body. Spirit, mind, body. Spirit, mind, body. James uses entirely different terminology. It means the same thing. Chapter 1, verse 21. Lay apart. These are the works of the flesh. This is what the flesh thinks would be appropriate. Filthiness, I love that word, superfluity. What happened to her? It was superfluity of naughtiness. Does that sound good to you? Receive with meekness. Receive. You see that word receive? Receive. Receive with meekness. The engrafted word which is able to what? Save your soul. We're talking about the mind. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It says you receive the word. That means I've got to meditate in the word. I've got to concentrate. I've got to receive that word to renew my mind. Or it says to save the soul. That's not a different thing. That's the same thing. This is be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Sometimes we think we're okay because we do know what God said. You know, I can know a lot of things, but if I don't put... You know, you can know we change our sheets every Saturday. Somebody laughed at that. They thought that was funny, but don't you change your sheets every week? Well, good, I feel better. We change our sheets every Saturday. And if we're not going to be home on Saturday, we're going to change them on Friday. If I could get away with it, we'd change them every day. Love clean sheets. When you change your sheets, it's not enough to know that they need changing. It's not enough to know that you missed your Saturday. It's not enough to know that second Saturday is coming. You really do need clean sheets. You got to do something with the knowledge you have. And see, when I have knowledge in my spirit, I've got to practice that. I've got to be a doer. It says hearers are deceived. That happens all the time. Well, I knew that. Well, what'd you do? I know how to bake a cake. I haven't baked one. What would you like? Chocolate sour cream? Have you ever had one of those? I don't even like, I don't hate chocolate, I don't love chocolate, but chocolate sour cream is worthy. First of all, I love sour cream. And then at Christmas time, right after Christmas it was, we baked a chocolate sour cream swirl pancake. I mean, pound cake. And put a buttermilk chocolate icing on the top. You can look at that thing and gain 5 pounds. And you're thinking, now, just one piece a day, Becky, just one piece a day. Not breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's what I wanted to do. See, the flesh says breakfast, pound cake. Lunch, pound cake. Supper, pound cake. Well, before bed, you wouldn't want to go to bed without more, would you? See, the flesh has its own concept, and the flesh will kill you. To be the fleshly mind, it says when the mind and the flesh join together, Romans 8 says it. Let's just look at that, Romans 8. Receive the engrafted word, engrafted. When you graft something, you join them together. I've got to join the word to my spirit and to my mind. So how am I? And then I've got to practice the word that I know. Practice, practice, practice. Verse 6, chapter 8, the carnal mind, carnal is the word flesh. The fleshly mind is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, here you have your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit can be joined to your mind, or your spirit can be joined to your flesh. The flesh says they don't like you. They did you wrong. They deserve anything they get. And if the flesh, if the mind hasn't been renewed in the love of God, it's going to say, you know, an eye for an eye. And the flesh and the mind are going to get together and cause destruction. But see, the mind and the spirit should instantly know. They know Jesus is the healer. They know to love one another. They know you're supposed to love your brother, love all men, love your enemy. You don't have to love what they do, but you have to love them. We hate sin, but we love sinners. And your mind's going to say, hey, wait, 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 wait. The scripture says it's going to rescue you. And the mind and the spirit, when the mind and the spirit come together, it says you have life and peace. See, now you're born again. You're born of the Holy Ghost. Your spirit's a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost lives there. You're His temple. He's there to make sure that when you read and meditate, you know what you've read. Now, you can fool me a lot with computers. I don't know anything. I ain't even tried to know. I don't even want to know. Somebody said, how do you get so much done? I said, I have people. That's just the truth of it. I have people. And they help me get me what I need off the computer. And if I ever had a crisis and I was alone, I'd have to wait till the people came because I don't know anything. Now, it's not that I'm too dumb to learn. I haven't tried to learn. And showing up in the office, just showing up at church is not going to work for you. Just showing up in the office is not going to give me any knowledge of the computer. When we had Daddy, he was a very, very light sleeper. And he wouldn't let you close his door at night. He was panic-stricken about that. And so in the middle of the night, you know, I would get my spirit. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And your spirit actually gets hungry. Hungry, hungry for God. And I'd get so hungry having spent the day doing this, doing that, helping him. And Wayne was so very helpful. And I couldn't sleep at night. My mind was rattled with all the responsibility and trying to be helpful and not too helpful. If you've never been there, you don't need me to explain that to you. And I'd get up in the middle of the night. I don't need any lights. It seems like every machine we've got's got a light on it. Have you noticed that? A little red light, little blue light. The safety system, the security system in the hall is lit. Our neighbors have this spotlight that comes through our bedroom window that says, don't approach me, I'll see you coming. And it shines in my eyes. So all you have to do is just walk very slowly, be very careful. And you can get all the way to the office the other end of the house in the dark because you have all these little lights. And I'd get there and I'd sit in Suzanne's chair. And I could, you can't read, but you could see a little bit because you have the blue light and the red light. We have three printers and a duplicator and a computer and, you know, all those little lights blinking. I'd sit there and say, oh, Father, it's because I'm hungry. I haven't had enough time in the Word. I've been too busy. And my heart kept saying, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. I think really it's a sign of maturity when your heart cries out for more than you know, for more than you've had. And everybody's heart, everybody who looks Godward. Now it says you're to renew the mind because you want your mind in agreement with your spirit. You do not want your mind to agree with the flesh. The flesh has its own agenda. Its flesh is always wrong. That's why it has to be crucified and mortified. It's never right. It's what you saw, what you heard. You know, my vision's not stellar. I've worn glasses since elementary school. Somebody asked me why I didn't get healing for my eyes. I said, I never ask healing for my eyes. I get up in the morning, put on my glasses. I've been doing that since I was 10. I mean, that's all right. I'm not going to even bother. I'm going to wear these glasses. In fact, I got 3 pairs. If I don't like one pair, I throw them down and get me another one. I figured one day, if I ever have money, I'm having shoes and glasses, and I've been true to my word. I got shoes. You got shoes. All God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, going to put on my shoes. That's an actual song, because slaves were not allowed to wear shoes, never had shoes. And the first shoes they ever saw, they thought they were ever going to see, would be in heaven. And I thought, you know, I'm going to have shoes, love shoes, and I'm going to have glasses. And now I got 3 pair of glasses and, oh, many, many pair of shoes. I don't wear them all, but I got them. I like them. I got them. See, because God loves me. Well, if you make a deposit in the Spirit, you feed your spirit on the Word of God, and you renew your mind and ignore your flesh, just know it's going to speak loud. It speaks really loud, and you're not going to follow that. Or save your soul, which is the same thing as renewing the mind. It says you save it with the engrafted Word. Now, when you graft two trees together, you take a branch that's budding off of one tree, and you bind it to the trunk of another, and you wrap it up. And you read this in Webster's. I looked it up. It says the purpose of the graft is permanent union. The purpose of the Word is I'm permanently united with the Word of the living God. And it says it's not only going to fill my spirit so I have a strong spirit, it's going to save my mind. Now, I don't know if you've ever... Daddy comes from 12 children and only one's still living. His sister, Trudy, is still living. And she has Alzheimer's. We went to visit her. A cute, cute little lady in her early 90s now. And I'm talking to her. She's talking to me. She don't know what I said. I have no idea what she said. And then when she looked, pointed outside, and she went, oh, well, it was windy that day. And I said, oh, do you like the wind or you don't like the wind? Well, she's right. She should have a concept. She doesn't have any concept at all. One thing I want is a clear concept of what Almighty God is saying to me. I do not want to be confused about the Word. I want to know by His stripes I am healed. He sent His Word to heal me. No weapon formed against me prospers. If it looks like it's prospering, it'll have to die and cease and desist because God is my healer. And I know that. And I know that. And over all the years, just like I told you with the love scriptures, I review the same thing, read the same thing. I am making a deposit. I am making sure I have the Word, the information I need on file. You know, if you lived in a... Somebody told me they went on vacation to this... This happened to two different families. One family chose an island off the coast of Scotland that didn't even have running water. They thought, oh, this is going to be so much fun. I thought, what misery. That's not my concept. But they loved it. They had a good time. They said, oh, we went down for the well on the other side for water, and we trucked the water back to the house. And I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, deliver me from that place. And another family went to an island off the coast of Florida that has no stores. It's known for just houses. And it's only get there by ferry, and so you have to take all your groceries with you. So you have to have on file all the things you're going to need and all the meals you're going to fix. And you got to have some knowledge here to work with, or you get there, you're going to be... That's what happens to Christians. You know, ministry of show up is wonderful, but it's not enough. The fact that you were here, I'm so thrilled you were here. But you came to hear and believe. You came to hear and heed. You came to hear and do. See, and if you leave here and you don't do something with what you know, if you don't spend now time in the Word, if you don't check, say, am I spending enough time in the Word? It doesn't matter what you read. Read whatever the Spirit leads you to read. Read a good book on healing and read the scriptures that are in that book. I do that some myself over and over again. Now look at the 23rd Psalm. Let's finish with the 23rd Psalm. Get ready. You don't want to be a desert island without any supplies, without any running water. And I go over it, over and over it. I say the same thing. If I'm talking about love, I say I'm patient and kind. I'm long-suffering, strained, and self-controlled. Amen. I'm not jealous, envious, boastful. I'm not puffed up, tooting my own horn. I'm not ever trying to pursue, demand, or persist in my own pleasures or my own way. I'm always serving others as God has served me. And I say those scriptures and I go over them and over them and over. You know, because somebody's going to step on your toe and you're going to say, hey, watch what you're doing. Because the flesh has a loud mouth. Oh, you didn't notice that, did you? But see, I'm ready. I stay ready. I try to get ready. I've met you have too. Faced with a challenge, you weren't ready. I didn't like that. Now, this is the same thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You don't want for anything. You don't want for prosperity. You don't want for healing. You don't want for peace. You don't want for life and life more abundantly. God has a full supply of anything and everything you need, including healing power. It's there. It's ready. Then it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Still waters are waters that are not moving. Sheep will not drink from running water. It frightens them. First of all, they are very overbalanced. They have this huge body, these spindly little legs. And if they step in a hole or something and roll over on their back, they cannot get up. That's why the shepherd counted his sheep in the scripture and went out to look for just one, because if that one is rolled over on its back, it's not coming back. It's not going to wander home. He's got to go and find it and resurrect it. And why he puts it over his shoulders and carries it home like you see in the picture, because then he can massage the legs so that when he puts it down, the circulation is back in those legs and the sheep can then walk. He goes to look for it because they can't stand up. He makes me lie. He leads me beside still waters. So if the waters are moving, they're frightened. See, and life has moving waters, troubled waters. Sometimes it looks like the waterfall at Niagara, your life. But you stand right there and watch that water. It'll never roll over your soul if you have God in it. Oh, say, woo!
Thank you, Jesus.
I see still water. Your family, especially family, and all your friends are going to say, looks like you're in the middle of a hurricane to me. I said, no, this is still water. This is God at work. Then it says, he restores my soul. If he restores your soul, that's the same thing James says to save your soul. It's the same thing Paul said to renew the mind. Those are not three different things. Though they're the exact same thing. It means, what are you doing in the green pasture by the still waters? Oh, you're not sitting there taking a nap. You're meditating. You're thinking, you're pondering. They're eating that green grass, digesting what has already been eaten, feeding themselves, stirring themselves for the trip ahead. Now, if you were a shepherd in the wintertime, they shepherd the sheep in most countries near the barn in low country. In the summer, they move those sheep up to the high country. I studied sheep because Scripture says so much about sheep. And before they move those sheep up to the high country, because sheep can be easy prey to animals, they send a team up. This fellow, this farmer, had trained his little boys. Even the little ones knew what weeds the sheep could eat and what they couldn't eat. And he'd send them up, and they'd go up all the way to the top of the mountain, figuring out what pathway was too narrow for the sheep and what weeds were there that the sheep shouldn't eat and so forth, clearing the way so they could get safe to the top of the mountain. The interesting thing, when it says in this psalm, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, there is a valley, a pathway that is so very narrow that if the sheep meander down that path, they're going to fall off the edge. And so they run them through. They run them through. They got a better chance of getting them off the other side if they run them through. Now, the idea is not that they're going to fall off the edge of the valley of the shadow of death. The idea is they're going to run through and arrive successfully on the other side and say, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm here, I've arrived, my body functions well. Amen. Run through that, run through that, run through that. You see that, don't you? Now look, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Doesn't say you don't have an enemy. So they're not going to be able to eat at the table you're eating of. They're not going to have the same food you are. They're going to watch you eat. And I'm going to keep eating the word, renewing my mind, restoring my mind, saving my soul. Keep eating, filling my spirit, filling my mind, getting my mind spiritually minded, my spirit and my mind in agreement. Anointing my head with oil, my cup runs over. Now listen, do you know why they anoint sheep with oil? Because they get this little bug in their ear and they actually will kill themselves. They beat their head against the fence post until they die. And so they put this oil over the sheep's head. It runs down and fills the ears and prevents that little bug from getting in the ear. It's healing. It's the oil of healing. Do you see that? It's the oil of healing. So that sheep, it's not that we're going to get rid of the bugs. It's not that we're going to have a pasture, never encounter any bugs in the sheep. It's that we've anointed those sheep with oil. We fill their ears, say ears, ears, with the oil of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Now here's the other thing I want to tell you about this. I love this. I teach this sometime in detail. That's just my summary. Sheep are very restless, very skittish. They respond to the shepherd and they don't respond to many others. We know that because Wayne's going to take a picture of the sheep in Scotland. Beautiful pastures of sheep. He never even got to the fence for those sheep were at the top of the hill. We have a set of tapes out there that has sheep on the front. We took that pictures in Scotland. The shepherd, he said, all he has to do in the middle of the night, he can hear the sheep milling around. He knows there's either a predator there or something's going on. He said, all I have to do is go out and lean on the fence post. He said, I don't have to carry my weapon or anything else unless I think it's a coyote or some critter. He said, I just go lean on the fence post. And he said, when in my presence, those sheep come to perfect peace. That's where your peace is. It's in the presence of the Lord. Don't stray from the fold. It'll be a mistake. Amen? You can do yourself a world of favor by spending a week in 23rd Psalm. Raise your hand to heaven. Thank God. Thank God. Today, you've received the word of the living God. So today, the Spirit of God brings God's word, brings clarity to me. Today, you're the shepherd. Today, I have everything I need. Today, I'm by the green pastures and the waters of peace. Today, my mind is restored. Today, I run through the valley of opposition to safety. Today, I sit at the table and my enemies are helpless to do anything but watch me have victory. Today, the oil of healing pours over my mind and to my ears and preserves me. Today, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.